You're listening to Cincinnati Edition for a Monday afternoon on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. For three decades, millions of parents and educators have turned to Jim Trelease's The Read Aloud Handbook to help their children become avid readers. Now, The Read Aloud Handbook has just been published in its seventh edition with a new cover, new material, and new additions to the reading list for parents to enjoy reading to their children. Do you read to your kids? What books are your favorites or a hit with your kids? Share your suggestions and questions by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. Jim Trelease is joining me on the phone from his home in Connecticut. Hello, Jim, and welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you very much, Mark. Nice to be with you.
Now, I read that you had retired, but the Read Aloud Handbook has just been released in its seventh edition. Why did you decide now was a time to update?
Well, there's so much. This is probably the most revolutionary time period in the world of reading since Gutenberg's days. When you look around, I went into a coffee shop the other day, a national coffee shop, which shall go nameless. And at one time, 10 years ago, the people in there would have been reading textbooks and newspapers and magazines. And almost everybody in the place was reading, who was sitting at a table, but they were reading tablets and phones and laptops. It is a whole new world of reading out there, and some of that reading is in direct conflict with the way you raise readers. In other words, the parent, the dad or the mom, who is only seen reading their cell phone by their kids, who are seen hours a day reading their cell phones and their smartphones and their emails, instead of that parent being seen and heard reading to a child. The role modeling that used to be a kind of public performance done nightly by a parent is now a silent experience and alien to the child, because the kid doesn't get any emails, so he doesn't get the gist of the thing. So I figured it was about time to weigh in on those issues, and then I would completely retire and leave it to somebody else to figure out how this doggone thing's going to work out, because I don't know how it's going to work out, although I do love my iPad.
Well, I guess we should go to the root of it. How does reading aloud help kids? Because it does benefit the young children in so many different ways. Share, if you will, a few of those benefits.
Sure. For one, you read to a child for all of the same reasons that you would talk to a child. Nobody has a hard time coming up with the reasons why you would talk to a child. You know, you talk to them to guide them, to encourage them, to ease their concerns, and to teach them. Well, you read to a child for all of those reasons as well, because you're easing the child's concerns when you read a story about nightmares and the nightmare in their closet and what have you. But you're also role modeling. You're making a connection between the child and print. The kid in Guatemala who has never tasted a sugar-filled donut has no desire for a sugar-filled donut. But let him taste it, and he's suddenly aware of it. Now he wants it. If we wait until the child gets to school before he or she first tastes the goodness of books, then we've waited 5 years too long. Let the child taste it early. Realize how good books and reading can taste. Now they want it. And when a child wants something, they find a way to get it. But first they have to know that the cookies are in the second cabinet on the second shelf. Once they're aware that they're up there and they know how good they taste, they'll find a way to get to the cookies. I mean, that's the reason why, Mark, you've never heard of remedial driver education classes in high schools in America.
True.
They want to learn to drive.
Well, you emphasize that this isn't a book about teaching a child to read, but teaching a child to want to read, which is what you're saying.
Right. And in order for that desire to be there, they have to be aware of it. And think about it in these terms. One of the reasons you and I don't speak Chinese, and I'm assuming you don't speak Chinese.
No, sir, I don't.
People do not. Is because we have not had enough Chinese words come into our ear. if our girlfriend, if our wife, if our mother or father, brother or sister spoke Chinese, we'd know a whole lot more Chinese. You have to hear it before you can speak it, before you can read it, before you can write it. So that listening vocabulary that you're feeding into the child's ear is going to be reflected in first the words that the child hears. He's never heard the word conglomerate. He can't say the word conglomerate. And now when it comes time to read it and to write it, well, he's got this listening vocabulary in his head. He can draw upon it, and it's going to be a whole lot easier to read it and to write it. So everything flows from the listening vocabulary. So it's basically a teaching experience, but you're also doing an advertisement every time you read to a child for how good books can taste.
We're speaking with Jim Trelease, the author of the Read Aloud Handbook, now out in its seventh edition. You can ask Jim a question at 513-419-7100. Nicole from Englewood on the line with a question. Good afternoon, Nicole.
Good afternoon. It's so nice to talk to both of you.
Well, thank you. And you have a question for Jim or a dilemma for your young reader?
I do. I've been reading to my daughter every night. She's five now. And some of her favorite are Maurice Williams, The Duckling Gets a Cookie, or The Pigeon Stays a Plate, which are great. But she's getting to the point where it would be nice to get her into reading chapter books with me and maybe doing a chapter a night out loud. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions.
I do, and it's a long time to get into that chapter book stage. If she's 5 years old, you're about a year late in letting her taste that read aloud experience in a chapter book. So what I've done in the read aloud handbook is to take the whole second half of the book, what we call the treasury of read alouds, and divide them into categories from picture books to short novels to full length novels and anthologies and poetry. And so all you'd have to do is to go into that short novel section, and that's what I would start with. I wouldn't start with the novel because that's like going from the 100-yard dash to the marathon. you might want to do the mile or 2 mile before you get to the marathon. And so you want to time it. And what I have in the treasury is grade levels, grade listening levels, because children listen on a higher level than they read on. For example, if you said to a three-year-old, please pass me the butter, the three-year-old can reach over and get the butter and pass it to you. If you wrote that out on a piece of paper, the child has no idea, in most cases, what you just wrote. They listen on a higher level than they read on. And it's not until about eighth grade that reading level catches up to listening level. This means your five-year-old can be listening to chapter books that are written on a first and second grade level. That's the level she's listening on at this point. She's not listening only on a kindergarten level, which she understands, but she also can understand first and second grade vocabulary as well.
Excellent. Thank you
so
much.
And the treasury has a synopsis of what each book is about. So you look at that and at the selections, and then you say to yourself, well, that would fit my daughter perfectly, or no, that's not for her. The dead duck, I know she really doesn't want to get into the dead duck stage. So you can avoid that particular book. On the other hand, some other parent would say, we just lost our puppy, or we lost the dog or the cat, and this would be an appropriate book for this particular issue.
Well, thanks for your call, Nicole.
Thank you so much.
I have to ask Jim, and you make it clear in the book that the most often asked question that comes in your direction is, when do I start reading aloud to my child, and when do I stop reading aloud to my child?
The first question is easily answered because you start reading to the child as soon as you start talking to the child. If he or she is old enough to talk to, they're old enough to read to. It's the same words in the book as in your head. The other question, when do you stop, that depends upon the family circumstances and the child. I read to my two kids all the way up into the end of junior high and the beginning of high school. Now, you have to pick your spots when you've got the teenagers because they have a very busy social calendar, and a lot of them have a lot of homework, or they may have an after-school job. So there isn't as much time for that child's listening as opposed to when they were 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. So what I did was when my kids were in junior high and high school, they would do the dishes at night. And really, think about it. If the child is not doing the dishes, the child's IQ is higher than yours. This is not a good thing. So you want to make sure if you buy it and you cook it, they clean it. So now they're doing the dishes, and it's a nightly experience. One does the dishes one night, and the next night the other child does the dishes, and they alternate it back and forth. And while they were doing the dishes, I would read to them from the kitchen table. There's really nothing else you can do when you're doing the dishes except listen and do the dishes. If you're watching television, first, you shouldn't have a television in your kitchen. But if you have a television in your kitchen and the child is watching television while they're doing the dishes, they're going to do a lousy job on the dishes. There are going to be a lot of spots and a lot of little pieces of food left over the next day still on the plate.
True. Well, and that's a...
I didn't always do novels when they were teenagers. We did short stories. We did... you remember the old radio show, Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story?
Yes.
Well, they had a collection of the best of the rest of the story, and it's like, you know, pieces of candy on it. You couldn't stop listening to those stories. They were addictive.
I know that that's a question many parents do have, is how do you make time to sit down and read to your kids because of their schedule and because of their homework and because of the parents' schedules too.
If you keep it compact enough, if it doesn't become a 30-minute experience, unless the child wants, just do one more chapter. But most of the time with teenagers, if you set a limit of 15 minutes, you can do a novel in a couple of weeks, or you can do a collection of short stories. I've got a book called Read All About It, and it's a collection of 50 stories for reading aloud to teenagers. And there are short stories and newspaper articles and magazine pieces, and they run the gamut from A to Z. Because so many parents had asked, I don't know what to read to my teenager. So that's one of the possibilities that they can choose. Finding time, we all have time. Mark, last time I checked, I got 24 hours a day, and I think you got 20. I don't think you got 26 hours yesterday. I think you got 24 hours yesterday, right?
That's right.
Everybody gets the same number of hours, no matter how old they are, no matter what age, no matter what color, no matter what their religious preference, everybody gets 24 hours. How you spend the 24 hours, that comes down to priorities. And if you really think that this reading aloud to a child is important, you will find the time. Because I know you have time for the mall, you have time for your favorite television shows, you have time for your hobby, you have time to talk on the cell phone, you have time to check your email. So if you think all those things are important, if you think your child is important and his reading is important, you will find the time.
You're listening to a conversation about the Read Aloud Handbook, written by my guest on the phone, Jim Trelease. Back with more of your questions and more from Jim after a short break. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. Jim Trelease, the author of the Read Aloud Handbook, now out in its seventh edition, is on the phone answering your questions about reading to your kids. Call 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. Sharon called and said the Harry Potter series was a real bonding experience for her kids, reading to them. Jim, I wanted to ask, you know, beyond a cultural phenomenon like Harry Potter, how do you lure kids away from the screens, the TV and the video games and the cell phones?
Well, I'll tell you what worked for us, and everybody should adapt to their particular circumstances, because one parent families, two parent families, they all have different kinds of needs and challenges. With us, I visited a family just dropping something off at their house one night, and the family was just finishing dinner, and the kids got up. Two kids went in to do the dishes, and the other two kids went to do their homework. And I said to the parents, your television broken? They said, no, why? I said, well, the two kids went to do their homework. You mean they He didn't have to. Oh, no, 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 no. That's a house law. No television on school nights.
Hmm.
I said, really? They said, yep. And weekends, they can watch as much as they want, but no television on school nights. And these were high-achieving kids. So I had been having some thoughts about our kids watching too much television. Elizabeth was in fourth grade. Jamie was in kindergarten at the time. I came home. I told my wife, I said, you know, I think we should try this. And she said, oh, I'm with you on one condition. I said, what's that? She said, you be the one to tell them. And so I told them, and they started to cry. And they cried for about 4 weeks. Every day it was another excuse. There's nothing to talk about at school. All the kids were talking about this show and that show. I didn't have anything to say. It was the end of the world. And gradually, over a period of about 3 months, we began to see the things happen that we had hoped would happen. There was no contest about doing the homework. They had time to do their newspaper route and collect for the newspapers when there was newspaper deliveries in this world. There was a time to volunteer. There was time to participate in all their sports. There was a lack of rushing, last-minute, hectic, crazy pace around the house. It was a whole changed world. We gradually made some adaptations and where we allowed one show a week, 1 hour. And believe it or not, they became very, very careful about how they spent that 1 hour watching television. I could hear them arguing the relative merits of one show over another with each other. You should watch 8 is Enough, Jamie. You would really like it. 8 is Enough. It's a very good show. I don't want 8 is Enough. Don't talk to me about it. I want Happy Days. Leave me alone. So trying to sell each other on their various shows because they didn't want to watch the show alone. And it worked terrific. We do need to take a time out from the amount of technology in our world today.
Well, you do a wonderful...
We're raising the most distracted generation in the history of the world.
Well, I wanted to ask about that. You mentioned newspapers there, you know, when newspapers used to be delivered and the like. And, you know, with all these screens, with the iPads, with the, you know, cell phones, laptops, et cetera, a lot of what we used to get in print is now on a screen. And that's even true in libraries, e-books. Now, there's a lot of changes going on there. How does that help and hurt when it comes to reading to kids?
Well, reading for children should be done almost exclusively from a paper format. And parents around the country have been pretty much restricting themselves to paper format when reading to a child. Only 5% of the reading done for children last year, according to national surveys, was done from a screen. The bulk of it is done from paper. There is a sharp difference between reading from a piece of paper and reading from a screen. We actually read worse when reading. We read, first of all, 6% slower when reading online. And we retain less of that, and that's firmly established in the research. When you take college classes and you give one college class the material on a screen, and you give the other class same material on a piece of paper, and then you test them for it afterward, the class reading from paper and learning from paper are much further ahead than the class that's reading from a screen. So it's out there, and it's not going to go away, and it's gradually, over generations, is going to become the bulk of what is read. But the school districts that think we can turn all of the scores around if we just sign on to the new technology and get on that information highway with the Wi-Fi, they're in for a big shock, because there is no evidence to show that the schools that are most the highest connected to technology are learning faster than the others. In fact, there's ample evidence to show they are learning less.
Well, do you worry that iPads and other tech will bring a day when houses don't have shelves and shelves of books that young readers can explore? Or even libraries?
It's a serious problem, and I don't know how it's going to work out. What I can say is that since we're learning, we don't retain as much when we read from a screen as when we read from a piece of paper. One very smart lady made the analogy to the microwave ovens. Remember when the microwaves first came along 25 years ago and we all thought we'd be cooking whole meals in our microwaves?
Yes.
And it turns out we just cooked the warm-up stuff, the leftovers, the small stuff in the microwave. As we learn that we don't read and learn as well from the screen as we learn from the paper, what we maybe end up doing is using the screen to entertain ourselves, light reading, recreational reading, entertainment. But we read from the paper, but the stuff we need to remember, the hardcore stuff, the textbooks, the real learning materials. Bill Gates always said anything longer than over four pages, he would have to print it out and read it from a piece of paper if he expected to remember anything.
Well, we only have a moment or so left, minute or two left. I wanted to ask, you know, a lot of folks might give a little pushback when it comes to the iPads and the cell phones and the like and say, well, you know, kids are checking Facebook and they're texting and they're emailing. Isn't that reading?
Yeah, it's reading. I can go upstairs to my kitchen and I can read all of the refrigerator magnets, and those are reading. But the complexity of the sentences is not too steep. We are getting 118 emails a day to the average teenager. 118. That means they're interrupted 118 times a day for material that basically has almost no intelligence. And it's abbreviated in such extent that if you were learning English, that would be the worst way to learn the English language would be from emails. We're getting 3,300 emails a month. Six an hour. This is for the teenagers. And that was a survey that was done in 2009. That's before the smartphones came, so you can imagine how bad things are now. It's not reading in the deep sense of the word that you're going to get any more intelligent by doing it, and since it's not the traditional format of learning to read, you're not even learning the correct language.
Well, you've done a wonderful job across your career in pointing out the importance of reading for growing imaginations and language skills and especially in this fast-moving world, attention spans. Thank you for your work. I hope you enjoy your retirement, and I hope we do find some solutions to keep those youngsters reading. But thank you for all your work, Jim.
It's been my pleasure, Mark. Thanks very much for having me this afternoon.
Jim Trelease, author of The Read Aloud Handbook at WVXU.org. You'll find a link to the book and more about Jim. Or you can find the Read Aloud Handbook where books are sold. It includes a giant treasury of great Read Aloud books, and as he mentioned a little bit earlier, a complete list, a little description so you'll know which ones might be better for your kids and best for your kids. And hey, take some time, take a book off the shelf, read aloud to your children now. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. Technical director for today's show was Bruce Ellis. Producer was Pete Reitmeier with help from Kevin Reynolds. Thanks to my guest today, Todd Henry, the author of Die Empty, Unleash Your Best Work Every Day, and Jim Trelease, author of the Read Aloud Handbook. You can find archives and links for Cincinnati Edition stories at wvxu.org. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for listening. John Hockenberry with a takeaway straight ahead on 91.7.